Zentrale Prüfung 10. 2015. Englisch. Mittlerer Schulabschluss. Haupttermin. Wichtige Hinweise. Alle Texte, die im Folgenden zu hören sind, werden zweimal vorgespielt. Vor dem ersten Hören wird Zeit gegeben, sich mit den Aufgaben vertraut zu machen. Der Hörverstehenstest besteht aus zwei Teilen. Hörverstehen, Teil 1.
Hockey, Canada's national sport. CBC Radio runs a weekly program called Discover Canada. The presenter, Angèle Alain, talks to her guest, Paul Kitchen. First, read the tasks. Then listen to the interview. While you are listening, tick the correct box or fill in the information. At the end, you will hear the interview again. Now read the tasks. You have 90 seconds to do this. Now listen to the interview and do the tasks.
Welcome to Discover Canada. With me in the studio today is ice hockey expert Paul Kitchen. Hi, Paul. Thanks for coming.
My pleasure.
Paul, tell us, when did people start playing ice hockey?
Well, forms of the game have been played for centuries in all northern countries, not just here in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Not regular hockey with rules or anything. It was just unorganized fun. The idea was always similar. People getting out on the ice with their skates on, trying to push a ball or a piece of wood around with a stick.
Well, what about the first real ice hockey match?
Well, there were 9 players on each team. They played in an indoor arena with natural ice.
Mm-hmm.
The match had 2 30-minute periods, and about 40 people came to watch it. That was a huge success because it was something new.
Okay.
The only trouble was that there was no fence which separated the players from the spectators, and the goals had no nets.
Wow.
So, for safety reasons, the players tried to get a flat piece of wood into the other team's goal. Before that, players had used balls, which often flew into the audience, and hit people.
Oh, ouch. Paul, how has hockey developed over the years?
Well, a lot of things have changed. For a start, the techniques of the players have improved a lot. It's a huge advantage that they don't play on natural ice anymore. Artificial ice is usually harder than natural ice.
Mm.
Then, for example, the number of players has been reduced to 6 per side.
What about the equipment?
Early skates were pretty simple. The skate was separate and fixed to the shoes or boots you were wearing. The players didn't wear helmets or have shoulder protection. Also, the sticks have changed a lot. There are still wooden sticks, but many professional league players also use sticks made from aluminum or fiberglass.
I see. Today, ice hockey is played professionally. When was today's ice hockey league formed?
That was in 1917. In the first league game, the Montreal Canadiens played the Ottawa Senators. It wasn't a good day for the Ottawa Senators. Two of their players refused to come out on the ice at the start of the game because they thought their contracts and their pay were unfair.
Oh.
Halfway through the game, however, they finally showed up, but it was too late. The Senators lost 7-4.
Too bad. Paul, why do you think Canadians love ice hockey so much?
Well, first of all, we are very proud of being the country that invented and developed the game.
Mm-hmm.
It was us who gave it to the world. Secondly, it's a very tough sport.
Yeah.
A lot of Canadians like to think of themselves as tough.
So, hockey is an important part of the Canadian identity. Is that right?
Oh, yes. Surveys show that 92% of Canadians believe every child should be able to skate. No wonder, then, that the hockey final of the last Olympic Games was watched by 80% of all Canadians.
80%?
Mm-hmm. And our Prime Minister wrote a book in 2013. Guess about what? Not about politics. About ice hockey.
Interesting. Paul, thank you very much for the moment. We'll be back with more fascinating information on Canada's most
Now listen to the interview again and check your answers.
Welcome to Discover Canada. With me in the studio today is ice hockey expert Paul Kitchen. Hi, Paul. Thanks for coming.
My pleasure.
Paul, tell us, when did people start playing ice hockey?
Well, forms of the game have been played for centuries in all northern countries, not just here in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Not regular hockey with rules or anything. It was just unorganized fun. The idea was always similar. People getting out on the ice with their skates on, trying to push a ball or a piece of wood around with a stick.
Well, what about the first real ice hockey match?
Well, there were 9 players on each team. They played in an indoor arena with natural ice.
Mm-hmm.
The match had 2 30-minute periods, and about 40 people came to watch it. That was a huge success because it was something new.
Okay.
The only trouble was that there was no fence which separated the players from the spectators, and the goals had no nets.
Wow.
So, for safety reasons, the players tried to get a flat piece of wood into the other team's goal. Before that, players had used balls, which often flew into the audience, and hit people.
Oh, ouch. Paul, how has hockey developed over the years?
Well, a lot of things have changed. For a start, the techniques of the players have improved a lot. It's a huge advantage that they don't play on natural ice anymore. Artificial ice is usually harder than natural ice.
Mm.
Then, for example, the number of players has been reduced to 6 per side.
What about the equipment?
Early skates were pretty simple. The skate was separate and fixed to the shoes or boots you were wearing. The players didn't wear helmets or have shoulder protection. Also, the sticks have changed a lot. There are still wooden sticks, but many professional league players also use sticks made from aluminum or fiberglass.
I see. Today, ice hockey is played professionally. When was today's ice hockey league formed?
That was in 1917. In the first league game, the Montreal Canadiens played the Ottawa Senators. It wasn't a good day for the Ottawa Senators. Two of their players refused to come out on the ice at the start of the game because they thought their contracts and their pay were unfair.
Oh.
Halfway through the game, however, they finally showed up, but it was too late. The Senators lost 7-4.
Too bad. Paul, why do you think Canadians love ice hockey so much?
Well, first of all, we are very proud of being the country that invented and developed the game.
Mm-hmm.
It was us who gave it to the world. Secondly, it's a very tough sport.
Yeah.
A lot of Canadians like to think of themselves as Tough.
Uh-huh. So, hockey is an important part of the Canadian identity. Is that right?
Oh, yes. Surveys show that 92% of Canadians believe every child should be able to skate. No wonder, then, that the hockey final of the last Olympic Games was watched by 80% of all Canadians.
80%?
Mm-hmm. And our Prime Minister wrote a book in 2013. Guess about what? Not about politics, about ice hockey.
Interesting. Paul, thank you very much for the moment. We'll be back with more fascinating information on Canada's most popular...
Hörverstehen, Teil 2.
Bad Luck in English, by John Hassler. You are going to hear a story about Thomas, who goes to see his teacher, Mr. Singleton, on the last day before the summer holidays. First, read the tasks. Then listen to the story. While you are listening, tick the correct box. At the end, you'll hear the story again. Now, read the tasks. You have 90 seconds to do this. Now listen to the story and do the tasks.
It all started in June, on the last day of school. Shocked, I was staring at my report card. I had an F in English. F! The worst of all grades. My parents would go crazy. That's why I decided to see Mr. Singleton. I thought I might convince him to change my grade. I went to Mr. Singleton's room. I found him sitting behind his desk. "Thomas," he said, "I know why you're here. You're not satisfied with your grade." "I'm in a state of shock," I said. "All is not lost, Thomas. Sit down. Let's talk. Nothing is hopeless." That sounded like I had a chance. "That's good to hear," I said. I sat down. Mr. Singleton smiled at me. "Mr. Singleton," I said, "I deserve better than an F in English. I did great on all your tests. I know everything you teach, and still you're going to fail me. That's unfair." His smile faded. "Unfair, you say?" He looked at me. "Now, it is true that you know a great deal about what I teach, but you have one great weakness. You do not work hard enough, young man."
"Not hard enough?"
"Exactly. Working hard enough means handing in written homework. Would you care to tell me the number of written tasks you failed to hand in during the year?"
"Well, I know I left out a few, but I had a job, Mr. Singleton. I couldn't always find time to do the tasks."
Mr. Singleton opened his grade book. "I had decided early in the year that I wouldn't trouble myself with English tasks. Doing written work just takes up too much of your free time. I thought I could get at least a C by simply showing up for class." "Look at this," Mr. Singleton said,
pointing to my name in his gradebook. Except for the few A's and B's I got on tests, all the other little squares after my name were empty. 47 blank squares. "Those A's and B's don't make an F," I said. "Those 47 empty squares stand for 47 F's. Even if there are a few A's and B's from your tests, it's still a very low average." I decided to change my strategy and play on his sympathy, even tell a lie or two. I told him my father would beat me black and blue. I also told him I would lose my job at the pet store. I told him it might even kill my mother. That's when he gave me a big, horrible smile, and I realized I had no chance. "Thomas, I have a plan. That F can be changed to a B. If you write one long story in a good style and free of mistakes. If you bring it to me on the first day of school after the summer holidays, I will change your grade. But in the summer I work full-time in the pet store. I'm not sure I'd have the time to work on English." "If you wish to pass the course, you will find the time. It is your one chance." "Well, maybe I can work it out. Just tell a story in writing. Is that it?" "Yes, a story of some length." "What length?" He smiled and said, 47 pages."
Now listen to the story again and check your answers.
It all started in June, on the last day of school. Shocked, I was staring at my report card. I had an F in English. F! The worst of all grades. My parents would go crazy. That's why I decided to see Mr. Singleton. I thought I might convince him to change my grade. I went to Mr. Singleton's room. I found him sitting behind his desk. "Thomas," he said, "I know why you're here. You're not satisfied with your grade." "I'm in a state of shock," I said. "All is not lost, Thomas. Sit down. Let's talk. Nothing is hopeless." That sounded like I had a chance. "Well, that's good to hear," I said. I sat down. Mr. Singleton smiled at me. "Mr. Singleton," I said, "I deserve better than an F in English. I did great on all your tests. I know everything you teach, and still you're going to fail me. That's unfair." His smile faded. "Unfair, you say?" He looked at me. "Now, it is true that you know a great deal about what I teach, but you have one great weakness. You do not work hard enough, young man."
"Not hard enough?"
"Exactly. Working hard enough means handing in written homework. Would you care to tell me the number of written tasks you failed to hand in during the year?"
"Well, I know I left out a few, but I had a job, Mr. Singleton. I couldn't always find time to do the tasks."
Mr. Singleton opened his gradebook. "I had decided early in the year that I wouldn't trouble myself with English tasks. Doing written work just takes up too much of your free time. I thought I could get at least a C by simply showing up for class." "Look at this," Mr. Singleton said, pointing to my name in his gradebook. Except for the few A's and B's I got on tests, all the other little squares after my name were empty. 47 blank squares. "Those A's and B's don't make an F," I said. "Those 47 empty squares stand for 47 F's. Even if there are a few A's and B's from your tests, it's still a very low average." I decided to change my strategy and play on his sympathy, even tell a lie or two. I told him my father would beat me black and blue. I also told him I would lose my job at the pet store. I told him it might even kill my mother. That's when he gave me a big, horrible smile, and I realized I had no chance. "Thomas, I have a plan. That F can be changed to a B. If you write one long story in a good style and free of mistakes. If you bring it to me on the first day of school after the summer holidays, I will change your grade. But in the summer I work full-time in the pet store. I'm not sure I'd have the time to work on English. If you wish to pass the course, you will find the time. It is your one chance. Well, maybe I can work it out. Just tell a story in writing. Is that it? Yes. A story of some length. What length? He smiled and said, 47 pages.
Ende des Hörverstehenstests.